Shabbat Shalom and welcome to this week's Living Torah. And first of all, sorry for the interference last week. I had my cell phone too close to my microphone. So what are those things doing to our bodies? That's all that interference. It was not your speakers. It was actually my cell phone interacting. It was about 3 or 4 inches away from my microphone. So I tell you what, we're going to find out that all kinds of things are happening around us, the new technology and what it's doing to us. And that's a pretty good segue for something I've never done before, and that is a commercial message here. We go through the Torah, and I don't think I've ever done a commercial for anybody, but we go through the Torah, and it talks about how the priests were to wear linen. Well, for a long time, a number of us have been looking at the benefits of linen, and it's many times just cost prohibitive in a lot of ways, but and a lot of people don't have the ability to make any of it themselves. Well, the other day I received a letter from a friend of mine. So they were at a conference up in Oregon, and that someone has actually started a company, the Messianic. They've started a company in making various linen items, and right now they're making pillowcases and sleep shorts and a number of other things. And so I got on the phone with them and talked with them for a little while. They do have it's a very interesting company in that they're employing Messianics, and in fact, in order to be a part of this and to do the work of sewing these things together and stuff and cutting them out and whatever you do, all this stuff you got to do, they actually have to sign an agreement that nothing will be created or no work will be done on Shabbat. And I think that's an incredible thing. So their website, let's see, Kingdom Paths, KingdomPaths.com. Still working on their website a little bit. There's some items that I emailed them this morning. They're not up on the website yet. But go on there. And the testimonies we've been receiving already, the things that they've got some testimonials on their website. And I know a few people that we've talked to. And we're using the pillowcase. We're using those. And we got a set of those. And I can tell you, I told Kathy about it, and it really, I feel like we are sleeping a little bit better with that linen on the pillowcase is all we've got right now. So go in there, get the testimonials, look at it. You don't have to purchase from them. You can always go out and make it yourself if you're able to do that. Well, you can notice a little bit of a difference in the background. Yes, we're in our temporary office. Didn't get everything else moved. We're planning on probably pulling our fifth wheel out tomorrow or the next day, just depends on water and electric. Everything this is just land. What you see behind me, those trees out there, that's what it looks like everywhere around. So we have a well, we have some electric, we got to run a bunch of lines and doing a number of things. In the middle of that, in the process, Kathy had to leave. She left this morning, actually, and is up taking care of her mom for about a week and a half. So with the move and everything else, there's not going to be, things will not be processed in the office in the coming week. So if you have orders, they'll be a little bit delayed. She just did not have time to retrain me in that. I don't train real well in those things. One more commercial, eSword software. You're going to see on our website, you're going to see or on the newsletter, you're going to see a link to eSword. And Clint, who is one of the people that's in charge of that, has done a number of things, more than I've ever gotten into, is the eSword software. It's free. And so all you have to do is go to I'm going to put his email there, and you can just send him an email. He will send you the software free. All right. Announcement. And this may be one of the most difficult things that I've ever done. I'm going to take about 5 or 10 minutes here and give you an announcement. I've sent out an email or a CD to our partners in this personal message this month and explaining some things that we have happening right now. And I want to allow some of them at least to get a hold of that CD and to go over it before I made this announcement. I've talked to Paul Sherbo, IFBN Radio, on the Paul and Mike show this morning. And that will also be aired this week with the same thing. And that is that I'm about to take a sabbatical. Actually, myself and Paul, we came up with a new word, is Shabbatical. Okay, so because I don't do Sabbath, I do Shabbat, which is the Hebrew word. So I'm going to be taking a Shabbatical. And it actually started about the time I got to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Some of you may have noticed, you probably didn't, but when I started Deuteronomy chapter 1 and started going through Moses' 34 chapter goodbye, actually, to the people, I kind of choked up. And it was at that point that something I'd been feeling, really, I guess if I go back to it, just quite honestly, I've been feeling it all year, but I didn't put it out, didn't talk to anybody, including my wife, about it. But when I got to Deuteronomy chapter 1, I felt like the Father was saying to me that this is going to be my last Torah cycle, at least for a little while, at least for the next year, put it that way. I've done 7 Torah cycles. This will be, when I come to Deuteronomy chapter 34, this will be the my 7th cycle of going through the Torah and looking at a camera. And so 7 is the number of completion. 8 is the number of new beginning. And so I don't, when I get to Deuteronomy chapter 34, I don't feel like right now that I'm going to be taken to a mountain and buried up there. But that's, you know, that's always the Father's, those things are in His hands. But here it comes down to this, folks. I've gone through it 7 times, trying to find the words to teach you and also learning myself. But really, I'm coming to the place I need to go through it for myself. And so I'm going to be taking the next year. I will not be putting out a monthly CD in the next year. I won't be doing the Torah cycle. Now, with that, we're going to do a little bit of revamp on the website. There's 2 years of audio with the Torah, you know, the Torah commentary has been doing this. 2 years of audio. There's 2 years of written Torah commentaries. And so those will all be available in the coming year. I'm going to ask the person who has put together the calendar for the last couple of years if she would be so kind as to go ahead and put another one together this year, but just with the Torah and the Haftorah. And so when we come to the end of Deuteronomy chapter 34, as I said, I'm going to be taking a little Shabbatical. We're going to I'll do some travel during this time. Probably not many conferences. Maybe 1 or 2 is all I'm going to do. The travel I'm going to do is going to be mostly just in houses, really going house to house, which I believe is a very biblical thing to do, by the way. And we will be, as far as our congregation here, we will be meeting as we have over the last few weeks from house to house. And we've already done that. We've had, I believe, about 4 meetings now. And so it's just going to be more of a midrash. I'll be doing some facilitating, of course. And some of the folks that asked me, even last week when I talked to them personally about this, they said, you know, are you just going to be kind of quitting and from a pastoral role? And no, that's not my intent. In fact, for those of you that are watching or listening this week, however you're getting this broadcast, I still have my email. We will have our websites totally up. The Torah is Life website, Joined to Hashem, will be up, God willing, through the next year. I will have my email. We'll have our phones connected maybe by the end of the day, by the time you are watching this video or listening to it, to the audio. And so everything will be there. I'll be right. I'll be here. In fact, maybe a little bit more for if you have questions or you need counsel or something or whatever, please feel free to email or to call. Now, as soon as this goes out, which will be Thursday, it will be up on the internet. I know that I am giving the Messianic community some fresh bait in the water, and the sharks are going to start swimming and biting. I challenge you. I ask you that you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to come up with a lot of reasons why I'm doing this, and all kinds of the things are going to be said. I know that. I've been around this thing long enough to know that there is just not going to just kind of go, you know, oh, wow, isn't that nice? Even though before making this decision, I went to my board members, spoke to each one of the men on my board personally, and also had counseled with a number of people that are very close to me, have been through the years, close physically and also spiritually, some of them as far away as Oregon, just calling to counsel and talk with them. And so far my response has been 100% positive. But will it stay that way? Probably not. But, you know, that's the way it is. The bottom line is this. I believe this is what the Father has directed me to do, and to do anything different would be disobedient. One last thing is some have asked, well, how are you going to be supported in the next year? How are you going to survive? You know, that's the last question. Phone. It's just going to have to ring. I didn't take that off the hook here. But how am I, you know, our support? Well, we've already had a few emails from people. A few of the our partners have called or emailed and said, you know, we're with you in the next year. The Father has not told us to do anything different. Yes, we will be receiving support. I'll be putting out a monthly letter. But as far as messages and things, I won't be doing that. You know, I guess I could just get up and disconnect that thing. Let's see how pursuant they're going to be, which is going to be a word in just a few moments we're going to talk about. That's irritating. You know, the last question I ask myself is how we're going to be supported financially. I've never asked that question up until now, and I'm not going to start. Those of you that have supported us through the years, I thank you for that, and I appreciate that. Some of you will continue to support us, I'm sure. Others will not. And you know something? I could make some kind of guilt plea or something like that. I'm not going to. The only thing I'm going to ask you is this, that if you decide to quit giving to join to Hashem, I understand there's nothing personal there, but please just don't use that money on yourself, okay? Find some ministry, somebody out there that you can be a conduit for those funds to go to them. Okay? So, with that, please feel free to email me at any time or call even. All right. Well, if you call, I may not answer the phone, just like that, right? Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18 through chapter 21, verse 9. Isaiah 51, 12 through chapter 52, 12. 2 Kings chapter 7 through 9. Let's start out in chapter 16, and let's go to verse 20. It says, "Justice, only justice, you must pursue, so that you will live and inherit the land Adonai, your Elohim, is giving you." I actually went back to just check this morning, and I was looking at the Blue Letter Bible, and I just did a quick search on that, and I pulled it up in King James. And it took me about 5 minutes, literally, looking through these verses to actually figure out if I was reading the same book. The King James here is so confusing that you can't even tell what it's saying, okay? But it says, justice, only justice, you must pursue. Now, the word there that is translated, David Stern translated justice, is really not the best translation for this word, because the Hebrew word is zedek, okay, which literally means righteousness. And it says, so if we take that, we would see that it says, phones. I have no idea. Not going to answer it. Get away from the technology. EMP would be great. It would be better translated, righteousness, only righteousness you must pursue. Now, I guess we first have to look at this word of what is the word righteousness, okay? Now, if I went to a standard Constantinian type of theology, standard Constantinian Christian theology, it would be, well, righteousness, we are pursuing the righteousness that is in Messiah. So we are to pursue Him, but then it would just kind of fall off right there. It would be like, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments, but then not really defining what the commandments are. So in this righteousness, if we are pursuing righteousness, now if I went to a synagogue, an observant synagogue, they would say this is pursuing the Torah. Okay? Well, which one is it? The answer, C, all of the above. The answer is yes. Let me do it like this. See if I got a coin. Hey, this is great. I got an Israeli 10 shekels sitting right there on my desk. I have my desk 3 months, and I have my desk. It's amazing. I have my chair. You know, I won't go there. All I need is my chair and my lamp and other things that movies you shouldn't be watching anymore. All right. Look at this. This is a 10 shekel. Okay. Tails. Heads. Tails. All right. Is it possible to have without having the other side of the coin? No. It's not. You can't have a coin that just has one side. You can't have a little disc on this side. It has to have two sides. Okay? It's three-dimensional here. It has to have both sides. It is both sides that make the coin. Heads, tails, one coin. Alright? This is the message that Yaakov was talking about. In that we have faith without works is dead, is what he would say. Alright? Heads without tails is not a coin. It takes both to have the coin. So, if we look at this verse of righteousness, you must pursue. Are we pursuing the written word, or are we pursuing the righteousness that is ours through faith in Yeshua? Are we observing, are we pursuing faith, or are we pursuing our obedience? And the answer is yes. It's a coin, you know. We got to be doing both. It's not either or here. Something I've talked about for 7 years. It's not either or. But the word that I want to key in on is not so much righteousness, but the word pursue. Now, a number of years ago, a couple of years ago, I guess, I made a statement that I would never, that I did not want to be Torah observant. That I desired to be Torah pursuant. Okay? Now, there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, is I don't believe that there's anybody on the planet today that truly observes all of the Torah, that truly does all of the Torah. I mean, just look, every Passover we're trying to figure out which date. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh, the new moon. Okay, it's Wednesday night. Should be seen here in Israel in just a little while. Be sending the email out. Most of you already got the email. It would have been yesterday for you, at least. But, you know, when is it? Which day is it? Okay, what time does Shabbat start? What time does Shabbat end? Do we do Havdalah? Do we not do Havdalah? Okay, is a shrimp kosher because it has one scale and one fin? no, it's not kosher, by the way. But, you know, all these questions that are coming out, there's nobody on the face of the earth that actually is observing, okay, doing the whole thing. But I want to take it a different place right now, okay? And that is if we go back and define the words, which is what I wrote about this week, if we define the words, go get your dictionary out, if you still have one on a shelf, go to your computer and type in the definition for the word observe. Okay, find the definition. It is to look at. Right now I am observing the camera. Right now you are observing your computer screen. Okay, you're looking at it. And here is the problem. Here is one of the problems. Is that many people are observing the Torah. Or they're watching it. They're seeing it. They're reading the words, they're looking at the words, but not doing the words. The difference in pursuing, if you're pursuing, okay, if you're a hunter, you know what it's like to pursue, all right, to pursue the game. to go after the game, to try to catch it so that you can possess it for yourself. Here pretty soon, I got deer all over our property. I will be, when the season starts, I will be pursuing the deer. All right? Now, I've already observed two deer. Okay? I looked at them, observed them, and said, I will be pursuing you pretty soon. Now, in the observing of the deer, I did not get a full tummy. But when I go out and pursue the deer, I will be shooting the deer. Yes, shooting Bambi's dad. Sorry, kids. Shooting the deer. We will be cleaning the deer. We will be packaging the deer. We will be cooking the deer. And we will be consuming the deer. Okay? We will be internalizing. It will give you strength from that which you're bringing into your body. The same principle is true when we pursue the Torah. We're not just looking at the words for knowledge so that we can impress our neighbors. But we should be pursuing these words to make them part of our life so that we can be strengthened by the words. And in the midst of it, in the midst of pursuing the written Torah, what are we going to find? We're going to find the living Torah. For, as John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? So in the pursuing of the words, in the pursuing of the getting down to what this thing is talking about, we're going to be pursuing, which is what Paul is talking about in the resurrection. How do we get to know him? It's through the words that he has given to us as we pursue not just black and white, but he is the word. I mean, go through it. Is it not true that after you get a hold of this, he's on every page? He's on every page. Everywhere you look, it's about him. Now, with that, let's go down to 7. Verse 4. And it says, where am I going? 17:14. I'm sorry. I can't read my own writing today. When you have entered the land that Adonai, your Elohim, is giving you, have taken possession of it and are living there, you may say, I want a king over me, like all the other nations around me. In that event, you must appoint a king as king, the one whom Adonai, your Elohim, will choose. Okay? This does tie together with what I was just talking about, in that we are pursuing him, and we should be pursuing, as we're pursuing him, as we're pursuing the words that are within the pages of this that are going to tell us about him, we should also be pursuing those around us, surrounding ourselves with people who are like-minded. It says, when you desire a king, and I'm going to take that too, when you desire friendship, when you desire a leader, when you desire teachers to help you in discerning what this word says, do not go out and find a foreigner and make them a part of that. Find someone who is like-minded, okay? I'm not going to get political here, but it'd be way too easy. But we need to find people. We need to have people around us, whether it's our leaders, whether it's our friends, no matter who it is, that's like-minded. Okay, many of you heard me say through these last couple of years that literally, if someone is not observing the Torah, I really don't listen to them. I don't listen to their counsel. I don't listen to their teaching. Very, very few times will I listen to anybody's teaching who is not Torah pursuant. Okay, if they say, "Well, the Torah is done away with," I don't even go there. You know, a lot of the stuff that's on TV today, it nauseates me. As far as the religious stuff that's on TV, it nauseates you. I just turn it off. Okay, I'm looking for people around me who are biblically minded, okay? Torah pursuant minded. And then it will go on and say that the king, in that event, appoint the okay. However, he is not to obtain horses for himself or have the people return to Egypt to obtain more horses, insomuch as Adonai told you never to go that way again. All right? Because if we are not surrounding ourselves with people who are also Torah pursuant, where are you going to go? It is very likely, I learned this years ago, it is very likely the person you will be at the end of next year, okay, if we go through the Torah cycle, okay, you're going to go through the Torah cycle, I'm going to go through this Torah cycle for myself and with some other people around me, it is very, very likely that a year from now, you will become the person similar to those who you surround yourself with. Okay, if I want to tell, you know, you tell your children this, you know, don't hang around with the bad crowd. Why? Because one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. It doesn't happen the other way, folks. It doesn't happen that, oh, well, you throw a bad apple in a bushel of apples, those good apples don't make the bad apple good, does it? No, in fact, what it does is the exact opposite. The bad apple corrupts the others, okay? So if you're hanging around people that are arguing about Torah, that are, you know, arguing about all kinds of stuff, if you're hanging around gossips and everything else, you know what you're going to become in a year? You're going to become the same as they are. Now, verse 18, I got to go through this one. This is one of those that when I first saw this verse years ago, started something. When the king has come to occupy the throne of his kingdom, he's to write a copy of the Torah for himself in a scroll. I challenged a number of you years ago to write the Torah. You know, if it's good enough for the king, okay, I mean, King Yeshua, if he did not obey this verse when he was on this earth, okay, as Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering servant, if he did not obey this verse, then he will do it when he returns as Messiah ben David, the conquering king, that he will write a copy of himself in a scroll. It's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? So my thought here is, if it's good enough for the king, it's good enough for the kingdom. So many of you, I challenged a number of years ago, including myself, to write a copy of the Torah in your own handwriting. Through the years, I've got about halfway through it. And that's one of my goals in the next year. If I can find that box that's got those in it, is to start again and to continue to go through the Torah. You know, you may not think you have time to write the whole Torah in your own handwriting. How about starting with the commandments, the 10 words? How about starting with the book of Deuteronomy even? But I guarantee you folks, the testimonies we've had from so many people all over the world, teenagers all the way to adults, is it right from the beginning. They'll call me, they'll email and say, you know, it's coming alive. As I'm writing it down, is coming alive right in front of me. And even had one lady that she said, it never dawned on me that I would write it in English. So she taught herself Hebrew as she was writing the Torah in Hebrew. Took her a whole year to do that. All right, let's move on. Chapter 18, verses 9 through 20. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it, basically, same kind of the same line of thought here. Who are you listening to? All right, who is it that we're listening to? Prophets, teachers, okay? Are we listening to people that are like-minded, that are causing us to observe the Torah, to come closer to the Torah, or are we doing things, you know, are we listening to other people? Moses said, Adonai will raise up, this is verse 15, Adonai will raise up for you a prophet like me from among yourselves, from your own kinsmen. You're to pay attention to him. Okay? Anybody that he raises up that is from him will be like Moses. What was Moses doing? Moses walked in faith, and Moses walked in obedience. Okay? So, same, right on through this. That he will raise up those. And so, who we listen to in our lives, we need to see the Torah in their life. We need to see a Torah pursuance in their life, not simply a Torah observance in their life. Chapter 19, verse 14. You're not to move your neighbor's boundary marker from the place where people put it long ago, in the inheritance soon to be yours in the land Adonai your Elohim is giving you to possess. Okay? Of course, that has natural things in the land, but it also has a lot of spiritual meaning to it. The Father places boundaries. It's called the Torah. The boundaries are called do this and don't do that. This is the life you should lead. This is the life you shouldn't lead. Don't move the boundary markers. Okay? That's what religion has, that's what the system does that I've been talking about for the last few weeks. The system changes the boundary markers. Okay? The religion changes the boundary markers into something that's not according to the Torah. One witness alone will not be sufficient to convict a person of any offense or sin of any kind. The matter will be established only if there are two or three witnesses testifying against him. We must have two or three witnesses in order to establish truth. You know, I found myself getting caught up into something not too long ago. Somebody said something about somebody, and I didn't pursue it. Here's that word again. I didn't pursue it. Ended up not being a, you know, ended up going back and having to rebuild some bridges there. It seems like that's, you know, we do that as humans. All of us, we're constantly, seems like that's just something we do. Give you a quick word here as far as my Shabbatical. There's going to be a lot of stuff said, folks. I can guarantee you that. Are you going to seek out the truth? And it's not just about me. It's about any of the teachers, anybody out there, friends or your family members or your neighbor, okay? How pursuant are we of the truth? Okay? Here's what this verse is saying to me. That if somebody comes up and says something about someone, that it's so easy just to accept that as truth. It's just so easy just to, oh, well, that must be. I mean, that's what they said, so it must be that way. And okay, off they go. And, you know, and this is where gossip starts. This is where discord and you know, the scripture says it is abomination to sow discord among the brethren. That doesn't mean we don't point out things that are wrong at times, but we need to be pursuing the truth, okay? Going and checking things out before we jump to conclusions, all right? The rest of the chapter is, I'm going to go in just a moment here, and then we're going to finish up for the day. I need to get these phone calls. I've got somebody that's actually coming in to dig some things today, and found out I can have them dig it in the 105 degree weather, and actually for half the price than I could have rented the machine. I wonder which one I should choose, right? Chapter 20, verse 1. When you go out to fight your enemies and see horses, chariots, and a force larger than yours, you are not to be afraid of them, because Adonai, your Elohim, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you are about to go into battle, the Kohen is to come forward and address the people. He should tell them, listen, Israel, you're about to do battle against your enemies. Don't be faint-hearted or afraid. I'm not going to I'm going to stop right there with that verse. One of the reasons that I'm taking a Shabbatical is because I find that I need to, right now, what I need to do next week is turn off every phone that I have, and I will. Is after the tornado and everything, yes, we moved to another property, and we just, you know, why didn't we rebuild? Well, felt like that's not what we were supposed to do. We moved out a little farther out of town, actually. I still believe everything that I've taught through these last years about preparedness And one of the things I need to do is get my own family prepared, and I need to put the time and effort to do that. But I still believe, you know, we've heard so many rumors of wars, and there's wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of things, and financial, and, you know, there's this thing that I've been looking at that many of you, I know, are getting kind of you're getting weary of the cry wolf. You've heard it over and over again. You know, all the economy's about to fall, and this is going to happen, and the well in the Gulf, that was supposed to be the end of everything, and the volcano here is to be the end of everything. That tornado and that hurricane, everything's going to be the end of everything. One day it is. You know, one day the end of the world as we know it is going to happen. I believe that. In fact, I still believe that it will be in my lifetime. The message of the Torah is this. The message of Yeshua is this. When you see these things happen, when you see yourself in the middle of the battle, everything's happening around you, make sure that you do not fear. Make sure you are not faint-hearted. Make sure you're not afraid, because He is there with you in the midst. See, if we have been pursuing Him, if we have been pursuing His Word, His righteousness, His person, with all our heart, soul, and strength, what do we have to be afraid of? A friend of mine asked me yesterday, he said, "Do you believe that if a bomb went off right next to us, that God is going to protect us?" I said, "Well, He can. But what's the difference? If He does, pretty cool. If He doesn't, what do we get? His presence?" Well, I guess we just don't have a lot to be afraid of, do we? As long as we're doing what we believe He tells us to do, through counsel with others, through the people that He brings into our life, and our seriousness about not just observing His Word, but being a part of His Word, pursuing it. It's like the person who, 2,000 years ago, there were hundreds and hundreds of people that observed the Messiah upon an execution stake. There were very few that pursued the relationship with the person upon the stake. The difference in what we are doing today is we're pursuing that relationship, not just observing it. Well, Shavua Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, prosperous week. And God willing, Bezrat Hashem, be here again next week. And if, as I said, you know, we're trying to get our phones up. I got enough phones ringing. I guess I should get another one, but I got one more phone line that's supposed to be put in today, which will actually be our ministry phone. So feel free to call us. We're not in the office a lot because it's just this little tiny building, so you'll have to leave a message. And we'll be glad to call you back. You can also email, and as you know, I do return my own email. So, again, Shavua Tov. See you next week. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.